much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What time is it?
How could a few numbers contain all of time?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
What the hell is this guy saying? Yeah, what is this? He's obsessed with death? He's some of the Deathmeister? Get real. Who's this guy? He hates animal voices? Then he goes in the other room? He does animal voices? Yeah, right. And who's this other guy? What did you do? What the hell is that? No way. What did you do?
We're not gonna take it anymore, guys! We need to tell corporate to suck it!
Suck it!
Sorry, I thought everybody was going to do that.
And now.
Why are you smiling? Like, it's funny. This isn't fun time. This is work. You can't do this, you know, on a real show.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 13th of November. What's happening?
Well, first of all, happy birthday to Ralph Garman. Sorry I screwed that up yesterday, but today is Ralph's birthday indeed. So hope he's going to be celebrating with us here this morning.
I don't think it is.
Lisa, you want to do a quick look over, once over on Kevin, make sure all of his clothes are intact today before we get started?
He looks good. He's chilly on him. His shirt is not torn.
You didn't run through a wheat thrasher on the way into the station this morning?
I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and some random person on the street went, "Your shirt is torn."
Did we make this up?
I don't know. I guess they were just surprised at how torn it was.
And then you continued to wear it.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, I went
You look like you got mugged, though. That's what the problem was.
I did. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Just hilarious that happened. I still can't get over that happened and you had no idea how.
I don't put a tremendous amount of effort into the way I dress.
No, but you would think when you put your shirt on that you might notice.
Had I noticed that there was, I don't know, an 8-inch tear in the bottom of my shirt, I would have changed it.
Yes.
Now, do you believe, and this is the other part of the conversation that I'm interested in, do you believe that the tear happened while the shirt was on you, or do you think it happened somewhere, like maybe in the wash?
I don't know. I don't remember anything happening. So you mean yesterday morning when I put it on?
Whenever the tear happened, do you think you were wearing the shirt when it happened or not? Or do you think it happens when it was kind of off your body?
I would guess it happened while I was wearing it.
Now, that's even more puzzling to me.
Yeah.
Because how would you not know that? A cut like that you'd think you would be aware of, unless somebody knifed you in your sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Maybe it's strawberry ice cream all over again. I'm not sure.
Hey, here's a story to get us started. You remember the manhunt that was going on for much of the fall in northeastern Pennsylvania? That guy, what was his name, Lisa? Was it Eric Freen? Is that the guy I'm thinking of?
Oh, the one that,
killed a cop?
Yeah, that they were searching for so long.
Went on the run. Yeah. It was a manhunt that was all over the whole Northeast, but, you know, focused particularly northeastern Pennsylvania. He was on the run. He, you know, they were looking for him for 48 days. This guy was on the run.
Wow.
Well, the reason I bring all this up is to bring up this story of a man named James Tully, who looked, and I guess looks, something like Eric Freen, and unfortunately lived in northeastern Pennsylvania in East Stroudsburg, and also didn't have a car. So he was walking back and forth to work every day along rural roads to get to work in the middle of one of the most intense manhunts in our nation's history.
For somebody that looks just like him.
For somebody who looks just like him. He's out there by himself walking back and forth to work every day. He was stopped more than a dozen times by police who pulled him over, lights and everything, interviewed him, put him in the back of the car. Ran his the information that he gave him. And, of course, it was never him because he wasn't the guy.
He was late for work like a half a dozen times.
Yeah. Imagine. I mean, look, you certainly can't blame the cars that drove by that saw him and called it in. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when there's a manhunt going on. I mean, it certainly would be suspicious to see a guy walking down a rural road by himself who looks something like the guy the police are looking for, right?
In an area like that, don't you think the police are pretty much limited to a few people?
And they go, we know who that dude is.
Yeah, we know that guy.
We can cross him off our list.
That's not our guy.
Yeah.
In other words, you're saying if the same cop comes back a day later, I mean, who knows how many police were involved in this and how many different guys pulled him over. But, I mean, I can't really blame the police for at least checking it out.
No,
I mean, that's what
to.
You do. You know, if you were in a neighborhood and there was a bank robbery and the guy looked like you and, you know, drove a car like yours, you would expect them to ask you, you know, so they could clear you and move on to the next guy.
And this is so much worse.
So much worse,
because he shot a cop.
Yeah.
Once you shoot a cop, you are not getting away.
Well, once word got out to the papers that this was what this poor man, James Tully, was going through, somebody got the great idea that they were going to start a crowdfunding campaign to buy the man a car.
Oh, wow.
And people, it doesn't say where in the area, around the world, who knows, ended up contributing $24,000 to him.
No kidding.
So that he could buy a car, and he did. He used about half the money and went out and bought himself a Subaru Outback. And says he'll use the rest to pay for maintenance and insurance, and he's very grateful to not have to be – of course, now they've caught the guy. It wouldn't be any problem for him to walk back and forth to work, but he's very grateful to now have a
so return
car
the
to
money.
Take his job.
Return the car and return the money.
I think that's super nice.
That is
that's super nice.
Yeah.
That people would
that.
Do that, that people would have sympathy for this guy who just was in the wrong place at the wrong time through no fault of his own. So a little bit of a happy ending there.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
All right. Well, talking sports with Jim Rome. This is a Thursday thing with us now.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Well, I'm going to file a strongly worded complaint with Mr. Rome about the American League Cy Young Award announcement yesterday. I'll tell you that.
Okay, you do that.
That doesn't scare us, A. And B, I don't watch baseball. What does that mean? Wrong guy?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about it with Jim Rome. He must be influential, right? He can change it.
Sure.
I don't know how much
sure
power he
how
has
works.
In changing it, but I guess we'll talk to him. Dr. Drew on the program today.
Okay.
We also have we're going to tell you a little bit more about the NASA project. Bean, where are we at with that now?
It's
still on the comet?
It's European Space Agency, and it is still on the comet. It did not it was not able to secure itself as much as they would like, but it has not fallen off. It is still there. They're wondering if they're going to try the harpoons again, and they feel like it needs to be a tighter fit to the comet in order to do some of the soil testing experiments and whatnot that they want to do. But so far, so good.
Being as fascinated
it's up there, and
that.
It's working. The world is fascinated by that, Kevin.
Muggs has an alarm that just doesn't go off sometimes.
Yeah, sure he does.
He sets it right. There's no user error involved.
No.
And it's charged. Just sometimes it doesn't go off, is what he tells us.
Like 1 out of 100?
I don't
Something
know. It
like
seems to happen about once a week, I think. There's also a couple of women in line at a Best Buy for a Black Friday sale. Now, it's the 13th of November.
Are we sure they're just not homeless?
Yes. Yes, we are. That's what they're there for.
They did get interviewed on TV.
Okay.
Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from today, and my understanding is Black Friday this year is now on Thursday. So I think at like 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day or something is when they'll be allowed into the store.
And they're waiting in line now.
They're already there. Yep, they're there.
How crazy is that? And we have your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We are giving you night number 2 today. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Ralph Garman steps into the booth. Working on his special day with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Fans of the Big Bang Theory are mourning as one of their favorite characters has passed away at the age of 62. Howard's mom, Mrs. Wolowitz. Carol Ann Soucy's the name of the actress. She passed away at the age of 62. Producer Chuck Lorre has said about her that her character was a bit of a mystery. If you ever watched the show, you know she would shout at her son Howard from offstage. The character was a bit of a mystery. What was not a mystery, however, was Carol Ann's immense talent and comic timing. And she passed away after a brief battle with an aggressive form of cancer at the age of 62.
I was going to say, 62 is a little young.
Sad news.
Yeah.
Also sad news is how much attention Kim Kardashian's ass is getting on the internet once again.
Yeah.
Paper Magazine was the name of the magazine that is featuring Kim Kardashian on its cover this month. The main photo on the front page is Kim Kardashian in an evening gown balancing a champagne glass on her ass, and the champagne is shooting up and over her head into the glass. However, there is an alternate picture, which is Kardashian with the dress off and holding it just under her giant ass that has been oiled up.
She is oiled up.
She is
That's
oiled
weird.
Up, yes. And then there's another picture you can find on papermag.com, which is a very oily full frontal shot of Kim as well.
Boobs.
Everyone's saying that Kim is doing this because she's planning or maybe already pregnant with Kanye's next compass point. And so they are trying to use her body to its fullest advantage before she gets big again.
Hey, remember, I'm still sexy.
Yeah, oh, look at me. I tweeted yesterday, I'm glad Kim's getting back to what originally made her famous, a camera, her naked ass, and a bottle of some kind of lubricant.
Yeah. They went crazy with the lubricant.
They did. She is well lubed. And ready for action. Where's RJ when you need him?
What do you suppose? What do you suppose that artistic decision was about? Like, what are
ass!
We? What's our takeaway of all the of
ass!
how greasy she is?
Ass.
Yeah, I don't know why there's. She seems so oily and weird.
Because they wanted people to think about lubricant and her ass.
Yeah, well,
okay.
To make the connection between those two.
All right.
Good enough.
Well, mission accomplished.
It is for some. And while we're talking about that family, Khloe Kardashian is back together again with French Montana. People were surprised because she was not very interested in him. They did not have a great relationship. They couldn't believe why the two suddenly would reunite. And then it dawned on everyone. The timing of the reunion happened just when the filming for Keeping Up with the Kardashians kicked off.
Don't you dare suggest that had anything to do with it.
The relationship is just for the show, according to sources.
I believe that show, man.
And they are going to use the real breakup, the TV breakup, as part of the filming for the show. So they'll get the they'll get to capture the breakup on camera because they missed it the first time around.
Because it happened in the off season.
You see? Can't do that.
So there was a boardroom meeting between the Kardashian lawyers and the French Montana lawyers. Where they hashed out an agreement. Hey, we'll give you $300,000 if you come and pretend to be her boyfriend for four episodes.
All the free pub.
Exactly.
You can get.
And then we'll break up. You guys will break up again on camera, like you're already broken up. No harm, no foul, and you go along your special way.
Everybody wins.
How about that?
Reality television.
Yeah.
In quotes.
And another reality TV family continues to rake in the money. The Duck Dynasty clan, the Robertson family, is in talks with the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas to do a musical review.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
The Duck Commander family musical. It'll be called a 90-minute show where various actors will play the Duck Dynasty family and document their rise to success in the creation of top-of-the-line duck hunting equipment, all done to a toe-tapping musical review.
No way. No way.
No way.
Look, it could be worse. It could be the actual family singing and dancing. This will be actors playing the actual family singing
and dancing. I think I'd rather see the actual family.
Now that I think about it, you're probably
more interesting.
Right. That would be the best way to go around it. Doves are flaming yawn of the sky. That's going to be my favorite number from that that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Mantegna. Love him. Talented actor. 67 years old today. We had him on the show once, remember? We had him on the show when he was starring in a TV movie about the Rat Pack. He was playing Dean Martin.
That's right.
And you guys had me call in from the other room as the ghost of Dean Martin to berate him. I'll never forget that.
How did he enjoy it?
He was a good sport about it all.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Was that near the beginning when you started hating us, or was it sort of halfway through?
Yeah, that was the beginning. That's when it started. I could feel the milk start to curdle before I put any chocolate into it.
He's had a long and distinguished career, but wasn't he also the dad on Joan of Arcadia? I loved him on that show,
just
if I'm thinking of the right guy.
He was.
Did the mouse just say something in here? Anybody got a little mouse?
I never know what's going to come out.
She's
or go in, for that matter. Yes, he did. And also, he is currently on Criminal Minds, right? Isn't he?
That's right. Yeah, very popular show.
Actress Frances Conroy. You probably know her best as the mom on 6 Feet Under, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
61 years old today. Chris Noth, Mr. Big. from Sex and the City is 60. Actress Whoopi Goldberg is 59 years old today. Just to show you that astrology works, someone exactly like Whoopi Goldberg, almost identical to Whoopi Goldberg, Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his birthday today as well. 47 years old.
Those two are the same.
They're almost identical twins. It's uncanny how much they have in common. Actor Gerard Butler is 45. Meta World Peace. Meta World Peace.
He rules.
A.K.A. Ron Artest. A.K.A. Panda's friend. That's what he put on his would put on his jersey.
Yeah.
If he played in China. 35 years old.
He's
today.
A little crazy.
And our own, our very own, the best-smelling radio personality I've ever met, Nicole Alvarez, celebrates her birthday today as well. So lots of birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, a quick reminder, not only are we giving away tickets to the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas at 9 o'clock this morning, but we are also accepting your entries at kevinandbean.com. If you would like to be Miss Double December 2015, you get all the details on both at the website.
By the way, I don't know how many times this has happened. Every year there are certain people who, you know, they don't listen to the show, and that's cool. Most people don't.
Sure.
But somebody that does listen to the show gets in touch with them and says, hey, you should really do this. And there are at least, you know, it seems like two candidates each year.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Make
it
nothing
into
wrong
the
with
top
that.
10 because of that. So if you know somebody that should be or would be a great Miss Double December, let her know.
I wish I knew somebody who would be a great Miss Double December, but I don't have any of those kinds of people in my life.
Well, because you're creepy.
Are they in your house?
No.
Then you're never going to meet them.
Right. Hey, pretty lady.
You're pretty. All right, we got to deal with some business here, and maybe we have some people listening who are smart enough to explain the technology that Beer Mug swears is happening in his house. Look, anyone who's awake right now listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, God bless you. You have to get up early, and I have a lot of respect for people who get up early and make it to work on time. We got a pretty good group here, by the way. When you look at how many people are working on this show, very rarely does somebody sleep in.
Now,
I think Dave's the king of sleeping in. The people on this show. Ralph might be second, but I mean, like, Lisa, I don't know that you've ever slept in all the years you've been on the show. I don't remember you ever oversleeping, not one time.
I may have done it once in about 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
And our rule, for the most part, if you're not really desperately needed for something that we're doing, is do not call and wake up because it's so much worse on the person that sleeps in.
Yes.
You know, our show starts at 5:30, so 6:30 is bad. 7:30 is way bad.
It's hilarious. Did we do that to you once, Kevin, where you woke up at like 8 o'clock?
Yes.
No, that's
got to
be the worst feeling
and you're like,
ever.
Oh, my God. And I was part of the rules committee that came up with this.
So last week, Muggs is late, like he do, and we say, Muggs, what happened? Because as many of you know, I mean, Muggs is on very thin ice on this program. It's amazing every day that he's allowed back on. I mean, Fire Beer Mug is not just a bit, okay?
Bean, before you go on, I would like Muggs to tell us what happened.
Yes. Absolutely.
And
I'd
then
be happy
Bean
to hear that.
Can cross-examine.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, Bean, I have been late before, but this time I wasn't late. What happened is I set my alarm for 3:45 every morning.
Okay.
I wake up.
On what? iPhone?
My iPhone.
Okay.
Okay. Make sure the ringer's up. Make sure I got enough juice left. Wake up. It's 3:58 and my alarm has not gone off. My body clock kind of wakes me up.
Right. You get up. You sort of wake up that time of day every day just because you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I realize, what the hell? But my alarm didn't go off. I could have slept in and missed work.
That would have been sweet.
So I haven't really experienced this. I've experienced this one other time a long time ago, but it doesn't happen a lot. But I promise you, I'm not. This is real.
Just make the statement.
My alarm did not go off, and it was set for 3:45 a.m. I've made the mistake where I've set it for p.m.
And you looked at it.
And I looked at it.
And it was set correctly.
It was set correctly, and the little clock icon that comes at the top of the iPhone
that shows
still,
the alarm is on.
Was still on.
Now, if you – I don't have an iPhone. If you hit, like, a snooze or whatever, does that alarm stay on?
Yes.
It does, yeah.
But I never hit a snooze.
But
you
don't have any way of knowing that for sure looking at the phone.
Lisa, I appreciate your efforts, but I would like Bean to cross-examine.
Okay.
No, Lisa just brought up an outstanding question. How do you know you just didn't hit the snooze and then wake up sometime in the snooze refrain time?
Because what happened was I got up. It was 3:58. I was like, what the hell? And I left I didn't touch my phone. I looked at it. I didn't mess with it. The snooze would keep coming on if you hit the snooze.
Yeah, and that's how many minutes later?
I think it's set for seven.
I think
I'm set for
five.
You could set it.
Right. Okay.
I'm set for 5 minute snoozes.
Okay.
And that wasn't going off. That it just
Interesting.
Hear my whole thing. And I'd love it if we have a listener who can explain if technically, there must be somebody out there who knows computers and knows Apple. Technically, is it possible that a machine does that, where it works on Monday, it works on Tuesday, it works on Wednesday, it decides to take Thursday off, and then works again on Friday?
Because to us, this sounds like user error.
How dare you, Lisa? Because I don't understand technology enough I can't put together a situation in my mind where that's possible that it would do that, that the machine would just one day decide not to work, all factors being equal. If you've done everything the same way every single day, I think it has to work every single day or stop working for good.
All or nothing.
Well, here's the thing. You guys understand that, you know, we live in a digital age now.
Wait a minute. What? Hold on. Let's get some more explanation on that
first.
Dump
it down for me, won't you?
What the hell?
Computers can sometimes have a mind of their own. And I think that's what happened during this time because I've had...
See, I think that computers are the opposite of having a mind of their own.
Yes.
That's sort of the definition of
they
computers.
They really don't just make decisions willy-nilly.
No.
Computers.
So what do you think happened, Muggs? You just think it was some sort – you think there's something wrong with the alarm clock on your phone.
Well, here's the thing. The only thing –
you can't trust it ever again. I hope you're not still using it if what you believe is true.
Well, I still am because the only thing that I could make sense of it is that it had 15% of battery left when
plenty.
I
– Plenty. Yeah. It is plenty.
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it just, because sometimes when you have low battery usage, all your apps that are, I had a lot of apps open.
And that runs down the battery. If you have 15%, that's plenty.
Maybe it affected the alarm. I don't know.
Let's talk to Jose. He's an IT guy. Yes. He's in Van Nuys and he's on line 4. He may be able to help us out with this.
All right. Hi, Jose.
Jose.
Can't use a phone. Hmm. What's wrong?
Jose, you there?
Him already.
Can't use a phone. Are you there, Jose?
Hello. Good morning.
Okay, good.
What's your background? I want to hear where you're speaking from here.
I work in IT.
Yeah, okay. Can we have a little more than that?
A little more than that, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. I'm a network administrator.
Network administrator.
Hey, legit.
Could mean a lot of different things. But let's hear what you have to say about Muggs. Is it possible that one day... with no user error, your alarm just, quote-unquote, doesn't go off?
It happened to me yesterday. Happened to me yesterday.
Was it an iPhone?
I have an Android.
Okay.
Okay, fine. That should be the same. I mean, it should be Android, iPhone doesn't make any difference. It should either work all the time or none of the time. Is that incorrect?
It's the computers. I tell people at the office I work all the time, they all of a sudden don't work, and there's no explanation for it.
They don't, and then they do again?
What was that?
So it worked, and then it stopped, and then it started again?
Yeah. I have sometimes the people can log into the internet, and an hour later they can, and then they can again. It's just how machines work.
I got to say I'm calling BS on Jose. He's not a system administrator. Not a system administrator. He's not IT.
Well, we couldn't even get him to talking to the phone. All right, let's talk to Domingo with an alternate theory on line 3, please. We go to Covina now for this call.
Domingo, hi.
Hi. Beer Mug hit the snooze button subconsciously. He just didn't want to wake up.
Okay,
I do that all the time.
Now, we asked him that. We said, is it possible you just hit the snooze button? But you've got it set for, 5 or 7 minutes or whatever?
5 minutes, and the snooze wasn't going off. So I know I didn't hit it to begin with. The alarm never went off for the snooze to go off.
No, he did go off because it goes off with me when I set it for about 12:30 in the morning to go to work.
Ooh,
I set it 12:20, 12:25 till about 12:45, 12:50.
Right,
I keep on hitting the snooze button, and that's what happens.
But when you hit the snooze button, would it show that it's snoozing? Does it say, snooze or whatever for that amount of time?
It'll ring again until you go back into the app and take it off.
But here's the thing, Domingo. The alarm never went off for the snooze to even be activated. That's what I'm saying. I didn't even have a chance to hit the snooze.
You remember.
Without even knowing you hit the snooze button.
Yeah, how is that? Why don't you accept that as a possibility, which is that you were so asleep that you heard it and hit it and you don't remember?
Because I wanted to test right when it happened. I was kind of upset and worried that my, alarm wasn't working. I left my phone. I didn't touch it. I took a shower. It was 3:58. I hopped in the shower, got out of the shower. It was about 4:10. Nothing was going off.
So the snooze should have gone off
again. The snooze should have gone off again by that time.
I will tell you. Thank you very much.
Interesting.
We call BS as well, but thank you very much for the
call.
How
dare you.
Here's the other thing I'll say, because we're out of time on this, unfortunately, right now. Francisco calling him from Fontana says it's happened to him before. Avo says it's happened to him. Emily writes in and says, I want to get Beer Mug fired as much as the next person, but it happened to me last week. Is it possible that a lot of these people just, they're all user error? I mean, it's
Line
pretty...
6 says it's a software problem. He worked for Apple.
Whoa.
Yeah, that might be worth. So does Line 4, by the way.
But he worked for Apple, though. That might be worth squeezing in since we are talking iPhone. Line 6 is in Brea, and it's Bo. Hey, Bo, real quick.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hi. Hang on. Sorry, that's the wrong guy. Line 4 is where we want to go.
4,
hi,
sorry.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you doing today, guys?
Good, thank you.
Fill us in. What's going on here?
So, normally with iPhones, with apps all running in the background, that doesn't matter. Those don't waste your battery.
Right.
With the apps, it could be a software problem, and he's going to have to restore his phone.
So we don't care about that as much as we care about what you're saying is that Muggs could be telling the truth, and it just didn't go off.
Yes.
Hey, Brian, you know what? I forgot to mention this to everybody, too. I have not updated my iOS for, like, the past 5 updates, so that could be a problem, too, as well.
Oh, no, I think that's...
if you updated, then that's for sure the problem.
Okay. He's running, like, iOS 2 or something on his phone.
By the way, hasn't updated the last 5 updates is the definition of user error. You lose, sir.
Damn it.
Day.
Jim Rome on the program later on today talking sports. And by the way, congratulations to Dodger pitcher Clayton Kershaw for winning his 3rd Cy Young Award. Unbelievable. He is a once-in-a-generation pitcher, so we'll talk to Mr. Rome about that and other stuff going on in sports. That's coming up, plus your way into the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. You can win your tickets at straight up 9 a.m.
Yesterday, B was obsessed with some space mission, and
yes.
I am the opposite of that in that I don't really pay attention to that. So
why didn't you care about this?
You know what I think it is? I think you care so much that you drive me crazy.
But you can be a little bit interested in landing on a freaking comet for the first time in human history. We did something yesterday that they've been working on for 10 years. 10 years ago, they launched this spaceship, and yesterday it landed on a comet without even being able to steer. It had to fall onto the comet and
right,
stick to it.
I got more updates on that than the people at the European Space Agency.
You understand this Rosetta spaceship, it had to circle around Earth twice and then around Mars once to catch up to the comet and then was able to land on it. And it's on there right now. Something that we built on this planet is on a comet right now.
That's kind of amazing.
That's amazing.
It's kind of amazing. That's all I'm saying.
So don't ruin it for me.
So yesterday, the guys were making fun of me because I was watching the live feed from the European Space Agency. And,
that's part of it, by the way. And Bean kept playing the audio of a room full of people just watching.
Murmuring.
Nothing happened.
Nope.
Kept playing it.
Until they got the word that it had landed successfully, and then we were able to hear some of that. So we thought we'd catch up with somebody who's actually in the room at the European Space Agency. This is Dr. Philippe Montclair, who joins us on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, doctor.
It's Philippe, first of all.
Philippe.
Not
I apologize.
Philippe. Philippe, I'm not a dolphin. I don't have little Philippe flippers.
We apologize, sir.
The name is Philippe, if you don't mind. Trying to say it correctly would be pretty nice.
I was so looking forward to this interview, and now I feel like we've gotten off on the wrong foot.
Well,
so please accept my apologies.
You, Carl or Louis, wouldn't you have said that's not my name?
Yes, I apologize sincerely, doctor. Thank you so much for taking your call.
I landed on a comet, goddammit.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty impressive.
How about a goddamn name check?
What does it take?
What does it take to get a little respect from two radio chuckleheads?
Well, listen, congratulations, first of all, on this monumental
achievement.
Say my
name!
Philippe, Dr. Philippe Montclair.
That's goddamn right.
Okay. What kind of data or photos or information are you getting back from the craft right now?
Well, the fillet.
Mm-hmm. Fillet?
Filet, that's the name of the lander, right?
Yes, that's right. Why are you stupid people?
Well, I didn't know it, and I don't think
either.
Lisa knew the
we
name.
Yeah,
the
rocket.
You did, but we didn't know the name of
you
it.
You could bother to read one thing about it.
So the rocket.
We've done something nobody ever do. Could you take 5 minutes to read an article? Maybe learn the the name of the thing that's on the comment?
I read the article, but I just went right past the name.
Holy crap, you suck.
That's my bad.
So the Rosetta is the rocket that got you there, and the lander is the fillet, and that's what's on the comment.
Rosetta is the mothership, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And the fillet is the actual probe itself that now is on 67P.
The comet. All right, now we do have a very serious question that my man Kevin brought up yesterday, and I'm hoping that you can explain this to us, Doctor, and that is, you took 10 years to get there to land on that comet, yet you've only got a battery on fillet that will transmit data for less than 72 hours. How come?
Because everything we had to put onto the probe itself contributes to its weight.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And for the mission to be successful, it was maximum battery size we could build into the equipment.
It just seems to me like that's a long way to go for 72 hours of info.
Seems to me you're an idiot. That's what it seems to me.
Maybe
you don't even need probe for that, get you stupid.
I'm just saying maybe you should have worked on a better battery and a lighter one first.
Maybe I should do that.
I'm just saying.
I think maybe you should stick your head up your butt, knees, and blow your brains out.
Okay. All right, Doctor, it sounds like we caught you in a bad time. We're going to let you get back to work, sir.
I had a goddamn comet.
You did.
People will show me respect.
All right, we respect you. Good night.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Well, I think we can all agree that Seattle sucks and everyone and everything that comes from there sucks.
Well, everybody that lives there for sure is a loser.
Well, now more than ever. I'm just incensed. I'm going to carpet bomb that entire city.
Why, what happened now?
I can't wait to hear what happened.
Did you hear what they're doing to the fans of the Seattle Seahawks?
Bean called them that. I think they're the Seahawks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he would know the name of the team because he lives up there. And
you would think, but no.
The beer they serve at CenturyLink Field, they've tested it in laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
It has much lower levels of alcohol than advertised. They're watering down their beer at the stadium. You sons of bitches.
To keep people from getting too drunk?
I wonder.
There's been a big investigation into this.
It's cheaper, Lisa.
Cheaper. They make more money.
They can spread out the beer when they thin it out with a little water. Get more cups to the keg, don't you?
I wonder.
Those bastards.
How widespread this is. I wonder if a lot of arenas and stadiums do that.
Well, the stadium's denying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But the lab says it is at least 0.5% less alcohol than advertised, sometimes more in cases.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Not only is it against federal law to do that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Because it violates the packaging, right?
Right. But also, scientists say Seattle sucks.
Did they say
that? Yeah, that came up in
a conclusion?
That is one of the scientific tests.
Huh.
I will tell you that I'd be very disappointed if this happened anywhere because you're already overpaying by 100% to buy a beer at a stadium.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's already $16 for an 8-ounce cup.
It ought to at least be actual beer.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying.
So all of Seattle blows.
Right. I'm just saying F Seattle. That's right. For what they've done. You with me, everybody?
I'm with you, Bean? Definitely. Yeah.
I'm not signing off on that wholeheartedly,
I'm surprised. How about F. Nick Cannon? Can we get behind that?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Well,
yes,
he's got a new TV show. They're getting another TV show.
How does that happen?
This is his third. He'll have his three shows on television.
Look, I know a lot of people make fun of the Kardashians. That's more understandable to me than anyone watching Nick Cannon on TV. It really is.
NBC is bringing back Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. This show used to be hosted by a guy named Robin Leach, a British guy. Remember that?
And this is where they would go to celebrities' houses and say, let's check out...
They'd have champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Yeah, that dude.
Let's go to the home of Michael and Shakira Kane. They've got a yacht in their backyard, and it's not even in the water. They just play on it.
Yeah, that dude was the host, and now Nick Cannon is bringing the show back.
You guys have seen him on America's Got Talent, right?
I have seen him host
zero
that show.
Stage presence,
yes.
Zero personality.
Can barely read a teleprompter.
He's terrible.
He's awful on every level. Now he's got a third TV show.
How does this happen?
How does this happen?
You're asking
is there anyone
the wrong
out there?
Dude.
Is there anyone
the
listening
dude.
To this show who likes Nick Cannon? who actually tunes in to watch Nick Cannon or enjoys him when he's on the TV? Or is he something you suffer through to watch a show that you're interested in?
1-800-520-1067. The number to call in if you enjoy Nick Cannon. We'd love to know why.
To me, he's just nothing.
There's, it must be a demographic thing. It must be he's young and black, and we need that presence on our network. He's already on television. Some people must like him somewhere. Give him another show.
Got some name recognition?
Because I don't understand. I have been in a ton of pilots in my life, and I've never had one go to series. I have killed more pilots than the Red Baron. And it's inexplicable to me the reasons why some shows get on the air and why some shows don't.
Here's a question, because you brought up the demographics of the fact that he's young and black. Is he a young and black man who is palatable to white network executives? He's safe because he's not at all edgy. He's
Maybe.
Not hip. He doesn't use language they don't understand.
Maybe.
Because I sure can't see. I mean, I just can't figure out who the Nick Cannon fan is. What's that person look like?
Well, looks like he's on line 2, or line 1, or line 3, or line 4, or 5, or 6, or 7.
We have all the lines ringing, but we have to wait for him to put them on hold.
Oh, nobody's on hold?
The other room. No.
I don't know what any of those things
mean. The check mark. When there's
a
check mark,
right? Someone got a strike. I think someone got a strike.
Nope, it's not a bowling thing.
Look, there's an X right there.
I know, but that means they're on the phone.
That person got a strike.
When they put them on hold, that'll change to a check mark.
So they picked up the spare? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not positive.
I'm confused by your
bowling lingo.
Your
what's going on
language.
Here.
Please put line 2 on hold so we can talk to Tony in Long Beach. Apparently he loves,
Nick Cannon.
Loves Nick Cannon.
Well, who doesn't?
Tony.
What's up, guys?
Tony, you love Nick Cannon?
Well, I said love, but I mean, he seems like a cool guy. Remember, he was with Kim when the whole porno thing came out, and he's been a player, man. He just seems like someone you just want to hang out with.
You're thinking RJ. RJ was the one with Kim Kardashian. Ray J, rather, was the one in with Kim.
No, there was a time where he was with Kim too.
Is the reason you like Nick Cannon because he is friends with Kim Kardashian? That's enough?
No. I don't like Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, once again, Tony,
you have standards.
Once again, why do you like Nick Cannon then?
I just said he seems like a cool guy. I watch him on HGTV
wherever he is.
I don't think you even know who Nick Cannon is,
Tony.
Quite frankly,
Tony's an early wake and baker.
He's thinking of William Conrad, Ralph. TV's Cannon.
You may be thinking about Sinbad.
He's thinking about somebody who's not Sinbad. Nick Cannon.
All right, let's try Blake in Whittier.
We're getting more information out of Blake.
I know we're almost out of time here, but he claims that he likes Nick Cannon well. Let's find out why.
Okay.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You like Nick Cannon.
You know what? I'm a fan of him on America's Got Talent, and simply just for the fact that I think he engages well with the competitors on the show.
Have you seen other people host television shows? Have you ever watched Carson Daly do what he does on The Voice? I think he's brilliantly good at engaging the families of those contestants and hosting that show.
I'd have to agree with you there.
But Nick Cannon is not good at it.
Well, you're wrong, Blake.
So, Blake, what you're saying is he seems friendly? Is that it?
Yeah, he's friendly and energetic. I enjoy his energy on the stage. The teleprompter thing, maybe that might be one thing, but hey. I think
you're right, let me ask you one more
job
question.
Where he has to do his job, he doesn't do that very well. Yeah, that's
have you ever seen Nick Cannon say something funny on television?
I'm sure I have. I can't really.
Okay. Can't put your finger on it. Yeah.
All right.
All right, Blake.
Thank you, Blake.
I think Blake's just a
call.
Nice guy and likes most people. I think that's probably
maybe like everybody.
Yeah, he seems nice. He's like a nice enough guy. He's engaging.
Well, we weren't overwhelmed by rabid Nick Cannon fans.
No,
but you know what? I think it honestly is just that he doesn't have any edges that drive people away. There's just nothing there.
Is it the Seacrest factor?
Yeah, it's milk.
Same
toast.
Sort of thing. It's just
he's
just palatable.
He's wallpaper. He doesn't. He's not. He
doesn't do anything good. Doesn't
not
do anything bad.
So it's not a mark against you. It's a safe choice.
But a third show.
Apparently a fourth one because he's on another show called Real House Husbands of Hollywood. Apparently called according to Leslie, and he's awesome on that. So four shows.
Wow. I guess we're wrong.
I guess so.
That sucks.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Mantegna. He is 67 years old today. Frances Conroy, the actress, is 61. Chris Noth, Mr. Big, probably best known from Sex and the City. He is 60 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg's 59. Gerard Butler, very talented actor, is 45 years old. Basketball's Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, a.k.a. Panda's friend, is 35. Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 47th birthday today, and K-Rock's own Nicole Alvarez also celebrates her birthday today. The number's mysteriously missing. Who says birthday, Nicole Alvarez?
She's got to be 25 by now, 26, something like that.
She got to someone.
I'd say 23.
Really?
Just for my safety.
I think she's probably like 14. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts are fast approaching Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th at the Forum. We got tickets you can win at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then every hour throughout the day, weekdays here on K-Rock. Don't forget, if you want to buy your tickets, they go on sale tomorrow at noon. I understand the K-Rock Street Team password went out yesterday,
that's
by the way.
Correct,
but
yes.
You can still get yours if you want to sign up to be a member of the Street Team so that you can buy those tickets. Just go to K-Rock.com for all the details. And again, on sale tomorrow at noon.
By the way, if you haven't been to the Forum in a while, it's been completely renovated.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
And it's awesome. So I'm very excited that it's there. All right, let's talk about Prince. Prince is a weirdo, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He is a weirdo.
Don't look him in the eye, Kevin.
Is he one of those guys that says
he's
don't look
one
him
of those guys, yeah.
He's so bizarre. But he's an amazing artist, I think, musician.
Yeah.
But he has put up his first selfie that he took with it. Looks like a 35-millimeter camera.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's digital. I don't know, but it's giant. It's
a little retro.
It's a giant camera. Why didn't he use a cell phone? Doesn't have one. Why didn't somebody else with a cell phone take it of him? Nobody around him has one.
Really?
How is that possible?
I mean, I get if he chooses not to carry one, but you would assume, like, his entourage, they would all be
banned.
His publicist told the Huffington Post, Prince uses an old school camera because he doesn't own a cell phone. We ban their usage anywhere around us because we're allergic to lithium. That part might have been a joke, by the way. I don't think they're actually afraid of cell phones. But Kevin, you asked the question when you saw this story earlier in the week. How does a person who functions in the world, especially a person who has a job like Prince does, a busy guy who interacts with a lot of people on a lot of things, how do you manage your life without a cell phone anymore?
I don't know.
Isn't it essential at this point?
I know.
Or no?
I know that. Well, to me, it is. I know that when I leave it at home or forget it or something like that, all day long I go to my pocket. Oh, I should. Oh.
Yep.
Hey, I should. Oh. And I mean, it drives me crazy because I don't have my cell phone to do 100 different things.
And I guess that there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things. Some people are less invested in their technology than others. I mean, there are people who are using it every minute to look things up, you know, on the internet. There are people using it for directions. There are people using it to text back and forth with family members. I mean, there's a million different things you can use with your cell phone. I just don't see how most people could get by without it unless you're, you know, working a farm or something like that, and you don't need to interact with other people.
But I don't think Prince is working a farm.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. So we're talking about this in the meeting yesterday, and DJ Omar Khan, who, by the way, you can still book for your holiday party.
DJ Omar Khan.
Go to DJOmarKhan.com. He says to us, I'd be fine without a cell phone.
I would. I'm so connected here and then at home. If I really do need to, you know, set a time to check anything on the internet, I have my computer at home. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome. It's a luxury that I'm able to afford. And I was one of the last people on the planet to get a smartphone. I waited till the very last minute.
Prince is behind you.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't think I don't think it's a huge deal. And I think I would be fine without it.
I would guess, and I'm just guessing because I don't know how you use your phone.
Yeah.
I would guess it would be a bigger subtraction from your life than you realize. Like, you would go to it for different things and go, wow, I used to be able to check the traffic or text, at least text. I text everybody.
I don't really like people.
I don't either.
Right, Kevin?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Talk to them.
Here's the thing. I do have a cell phone.
But who's the hardest person to reach on the cell phone? You.
Correct, because I don't answer it.
Right.
I use it for everything else, but I don't want to talk to people.
Okay.
So, but what are you?
You don't have to.
What are you doing? And you're Mr. I don't want to be connected or whatever after you're away from this job, aren't you?
I mean, most people can't. Dave's the only one that can get a hold of me.
Right.
But he can get a hold of
you.
People.
Right.
That's the point. He can do it.
I can do it. But I don't need to be bothered with nonsense, which is everything else.
All of us.
But you're using your phone for Twitter and Facebook. Or
sometimes,
what
when I'm bored. I'll do Twitter.
Other than that, you're just calling people?
No, I text.
Just texting people. You know, for me, I really needed to get a hold of somebody, I could use a hard line.
And photography.
No big deal.
Photography, to me, it makes it so much easier because no matter where you are, you don't have to have remembered a camera.
Right.
So that's probably what I use it the most for.
I think there
I
are
two, that, but two I different. You know, I have.
There are two different kinds of people here. There are the people that we're not sticking up for, who are addicted to their phones, who can't walk down the street without their face being in a phone. They can't sit in a restaurant and have a meal without their face being in a phone. They can't live a minute without being in a phone.
Those
aren't the people we're defending.
Or in a movie.
In the face, yeah. Right. Or in a movie theater. Right.
I recently had a dinner where everybody at the table was on their phone. And so I literally pulled out my phone and just was like faking it.
I was going
through my apps or whatever just to see, because I didn't want to be the only person at the table not on my cell phone.
I know.
Yeah. And that's not right either, but
that's not right at all. No. So those aren't the people we're talking about, though. It's the people who are addicted to the phones. I'm fascinated with the people who just, like, how do you get by just in life without having that resource? It's a clock, and it's a calendar, and it's a way to connect with people, and it's a way to look things up. And as Kevin said, a lot of people, you know, they like to, for the traffic app, for Waze or whatever. I mean, don't you miss all of those things if you don't have a cell phone? Like, who are the people that are listening to our show who do not have a cell phone, and what is their life like, and why don't they have a cell phone? Is it a conscious choice that they're making? I mean, I'm sure there are some people who literally can't afford it, and if that's your situation, obviously there's no shame in that.
Yeah, that's not who we're talking about.
That's not who we're talking about at all. We're talking about the people who could get a phone but choose not to because they don't think they need one. That's amazing to me in 2014. That's like not having a television. It's such a surprise to me, or a microwave. Like, there are some essentials, some staples in your life.
And water.
A phone is one of them, right?
Water and a phone.
So
in that order.
Let's assume that there are people like that who are listening who have chosen not to have a phone. We want to find out why and what that's like for you and what if you think you're missing out on anything, give us a call from, I assume, your hardwired phone at home.
Find a landline.
Ooh, I never thought about that. They may not be able to call.
Find a landline.
Ask your buddy for his cell phone.
Maybe you have a buddy. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're at work.
Maybe you'll pull over to the side of the road and there's something called a pay phone,
no,
as I understand
not.
Not anymore, no.
But give us a call if you can at 1-800-520-1067. We want to see how the other half lives, or in this case, the other 5% lives. What's life without a cell phone like? Talk to us. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. From KFWB AM 980, The Beast, we'll catch up with Jim Rome and talk sports at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about not having a cell phone. Prince doesn't have one. Why don't you? 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Sarah? Lisa from Inglewood. Sarah's calling us.
Oh, Sarah, sister.
What do you know about Inglewood? What do you know about Inglewood?
In the hood.
Come on. It's always up to no good.
Up to no good, Lisa.
Come on.
You were born there.
It's been a while.
Inglewood is always up to no good.
Come on. Such a setup. Even Beer Bug knew that.
Put me on the spot.
That hurt. All right, Sarah, you're 22 years old, and you are absolutely an outlier because you do not have a cell phone, correct?
Good morning, everyone. That's correct. I don't have a cell phone.
Why?
I just don't have a need for it. I get up at 5:30 in the morning, listen to the show, and then I go to work and come back at 6.
And
you don't
have life or friends?
You have no friends?
I do, but we all have our own things to do.
All right, let me ask this. Do you have family?
Yes.
Okay, so isn't it nice for your family to be able to get a hold of you if they need to?
Well, no, because I work with my sister, so she has a cell phone, and she's always on it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't like the way people have become dependent on it.
Right, but okay. I can turn it off whenever I feel like it. I mean, that is an option.
Right, you don't have to be on it all the time, but what if you want directions to go someplace, for instance? Wouldn't it be handy? Or what if you want to look something up? Wouldn't it be nice to have that in the palm of your hand?
Are you meeting someone and you're running late?
Well, no, that's why for right now I don't have a practical use for it because I get up at 5:30, like I said. I come back at 6.
He doesn't meet anybody.
All right.
So you just think it'd be just a big waste of time and money if you had a cell phone.
Yes, it would.
Okay.
One day you're going to get friends, and you're going to feel really weird, though.
I know, right?
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's talk to Brian. I know we don't have much time. He's in Fullerton. He went without a cell phone for a year. Let's find out why and what he learned from that. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
So how'd you give up your cell phone for a year? What caused that?
Basically, it broke, and I just got sick of having it and didn't feel the need to go run out and buy another one. So I went and got a landline in my apartment.
Okay.
All right.
And since, have you missed it at all?
Well, I'm calling on a cell phone right now, but for that year, I mean, it was so stress-free, I couldn't believe it. And then
but wait a minute.
So much.
Brian, just a second. If it was so stress-free, why would you get one?
Well, now I moved careers, and now my work kind of requires me to have one. So.
Oh, I see.
You know, I could see in a way that you would get a little bit zen without it.
I can see that too.
You see how much everybody else is constantly reaching for their phone or facing their phone, and you just, I don't know, I became more sociable. I was less stressed all the time.
About 95% of the time when I'm on vacation, I turn my phone off.
Me too.
And I have no issue with that.
Forget about it. Yeah.
But
even still now, if it wasn't for work, I mean, I pretty much have it off.
Thanks very much for the call. It is interesting because we're seeing a lot of this on the Twitter and the Facebook too for the Kevin and Bean Show, that it is for some people a reaction to how much other people are addicted to it, or even how much they were addicted to it. But that's kind of on you if you can't manage your usage, I think.
Yeah, it is like crack for some people.
Yeah,
right.
But if that's your issue, then leave it at home. Try leaving it at home for a week. That's weird. I'm not sure I get that.
Well, right, let's take users, except for photos.
Kevin uses his a lot to avoid all of us trying to get in touch with him. That's basically what Kevin has a cell phone for.
I do, actually.
All right, so what's our verdict here? Is get a cell phone, don't get a cell phone?
Well, I think it's up to them.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Have friends, don't have friends.
Have friends or don't have friends. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38. Don't forget, tickets go on sale for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Friday at noon. You have to have the password, which you can get from krock.com by being a street team member. If you don't have a password, you can't buy the tickets in pre-sale, which is Friday at noon. So get that.
They sent those out yesterday. Yep. People seem to get them. Seems like the system is in place and it is working. So I'm very excited. It's going to be quite a weekend with U2 and Weezer and Smashing Pumpkins and Linkin Park and Fall Out Boy and System of a Down and so much more. Get all those details at KROQ.com. And by the way, while you're there, be sure to register to win some tickets to both nights, because that's happening through KROQ.com as well. Ralph told us a story yesterday that I was frankly a little bit surprised about. The Osbournes TV show, which was a huge hit for 2 or 3 years on MTV back in the early 2000s, has been gone for a long time now, but it is coming back. Sort of. Here's what Sharon Osbourne said on her TV show, The Talk, yesterday.
It's not as much coming back as a proper series as an update to catch up on our lives and where we are now, because it's been so long as we've been seen as a family, and our family has grown. Mm-hmm. We have granddaughter, a gorgeous daughter-in-law, sir. And it was all my husband's doing, because he looked back on his life and he said, I wish we could have done the Osbournes now, where I'm clean and sober. Mm. And I'm like,
what is your level of interest, Kevin, in seeing a clean and sober Ozzy Osbourne on TV?
Boy, I gotta tell you, that was, as much as a dick this makes me, that was sort of the fun of it.
Yeah, I agree. I
feel was watching Ozzy try to learn how to use a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, I feel terrible saying that, but I feel like that was part of the draw.
Well, let's find out. The great Ozzy Osbourne himself is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. The clean and sober Ozzy, who's coming back to our television set soon. Hi, Oz. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Kevin and Bean.
Yes. Yeah.
No, they're not here. I got to take a message.
No, this is
a phone call for you, Kevin and Bean.
No, we're nope. We're Kevin and Bean. We're talking to you, Ozzy.
I know. I'm just kidding, old man.
What?
I know. I'm just fooling. I know exactly why you're calling and who you're calling.
Can you put Ozzy Osbourne back on the phone,
please? Well, this is Ozzy, my good friend. How are you?
We're good. What's happening right now?
Well, I'm clean and sober now, you see.
Right.
So things are a little different here at the Osbourne household.
Well, but do you know how to use a vacuum now?
Of course I know to use a vacuum. In fact, I've just built a better one. I have to give that other Brit a run for his money. I think there's a world of invention left in me.
Have you figured out how to clean up after your dogs in the house, or do you just let them poop wherever they want to go now?
No. All the animals are quite housebroken now, and I've trained them all to fetch and actually to paint. I have all the dogs painting now.
You've trained your dogs to paint?
Yeah, well, in still life, but still, we're working on other things.
Let me see. What else do I remember from the old show? You could never use the TV remote. You just had to scream for Sharon every time you wanted to change a channel. How about that?
Yes, those were the days. Poor Sharon. I must have driven her crazy with all my drunken shenanigans.
You did. We saw.
But luckily now, no, I can use the remote control. And in fact, I'm writing several TV series as we speak.
You're writing TV series?
A few things for the BBC, some historical dramas, but I think they're quite good.
What is happening right now? This isn't Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yes, it is. It's clean and sober, Ozzy Osbourne. I'll tell you, it makes quite a difference once you put down the bottle and stop doing all those drugs. It's amazing how your consciousness can clear right up.
Yeah. But does this mean you're not going to throw meat at the neighbors anymore?
Frankly, I'm embarrassed when I watch those old episodes. I don't even remember throwing that meat, but it certainly isn't something I do now.
Yeah, yeah, it was a ham you threw over the fence at your neighbors. How about
a waste of a ham? Of course, I wouldn't know that anymore, being a vegetarian. And
you're
all.
A vegetarian.
Oh, wow.
Oh yes. Huh. I love a good kale shake in the morning just to get things going. Then, of course, I have some sort of legume throughout the day for my protein.
Right. Ozzy, do you remember the episode where you turned over the ATV, where you got into that terrible accident
where it
landed on top of you?
I still ache because of that, and because of that, I've been working in the lab, and I've come up with a new pain relief drug, and I think it's going to be quite a success. It's non-addictive. It's also easier on the kidneys than other types of NSAIDs.
This is going to be the weirdest reality show ever. Now, why are you doing it? Why do you want to let the cameras back into your home with you and your family?
Well, I'd like to show everyone what I'm like now that I'm clean and sober. It's a brand new Ozzy Osbourne. I think everyone will enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to toast to that right now with this mimosa. I haven't had anything to drink in a while, but I'm looking forward to it.
Please don't do
this. This isn't necessary.
Not now.
Cheers, everyone. Here's the new...
Not now,
if you're
Ozzy.
Clean and sober, you should stick with that, Ozzy.
No.
That's the fastest working alcohol in history.
Shirley, why is the alcohol working so fast?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Although Mark doesn't need bionics, man. He's got guns. He's got the cannons, man.
Does he?
Pew, pew, pew.
It looks like he's already been fitted with something.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Right? Right with me. Right?
He was fitted with something.
Oh, you know I'm with you.
Something. Hey, Jim Rome joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rubbus here with a showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
The what now?
Showbiz beat.
The showbiz beat. Yeah. You know what he's called.
Right. Oh, I'm so excited.
You just can't hide it?
Come on.
Chess.
You're about to lose your mind and you think you like it?
Chess.
What up,
Chess?
Chess. Chess.
You know how I love the musical Chess.
Uh-huh.
No.
Written by ABBA's Benny and Bjorn, right?
Right.
Come on.
I saw it.
What?
I remember Chess.
Chess.
You
saw it? Really?
In England.
Oh.
Yep.
Chess is a thing?
Oh, I've never seen
it's
it.
It's a thing.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I do know they are releasing the original 1984 recording of the musical. It's getting a deluxe remaster.
Oh, wow.
It's very exciting. You know why it's getting exciting?
Why?
Because of One Night in Bangkok.
Yeah.
One of the greatest songs ever.
That's where it came from?
That's where that song came from. It's from that musical.
No
kidding. The musical was pretty much a failure, but that single became a smash hit. Bangkok!
I feel like
great
that
song.
Oh, good. Okay, I was going to say I feel like that song blows, but I love it.
It's awesome.
I think it's a great song. I think
love
it's
one of my favorite like one hit wonders ever.
That song is great.
So I'm looking forward to hearing the remastered version.
It's not going to be as
Bangkok,
good.
Oriental setting.
I thought it said city.
Don't know what the city is getting. The
French,
creme de la creme of the chess world.
French
the show
and
everything, but Yul Brynner. I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
Love that.
French later. French should have done it.
Yeah, he should have.
Well, we almost had an opening for night two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas.
What happened? Alt-J, Imagine Dragons, Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, U2, Vince, Joy, Weezer.
Yeah, we almost had a slot open up for another band.
Because
Bono was flying to Germany from Ireland when the rear hatch of his private Learjet came off.
Came off?
Came off.
Oh, my God.
His door fell off mid-flight. He and four friends flying to Germany. They hear a thud.
Whoa.
Did he go back and just physically hold the plane together until it landed?
He just put out his hand. It was like the Jedi. It was like the Force. He just put his hand out and said, "You won't do that." They were able to land at Berlin Schoenfeld Airport minutes later, but they were horrified to learn that the compartment of the real plane had completely detached.
Wow. That's...
The entire door, along with Bono and his companions, all their luggage had fallen out midair.
Wow.
No one we're going to die!
No one knows if the door and its contents land over water or land, but they were all extremely lucky.
Crazy.
To land safely. So
so someone could be walking down the street in Germany today and find Bono's passport laying in the ditch.
Right. Or just a suitcase filled to the brim with sunglasses.
That's true. It's possible, too.
That's
yeah.
probably his right there.
Just if they're yellow tinted plane sunglasses. Falls apart in midair, man. You are lucky to walk away from that.
Do you think, Captain Obvious?
I do.
When your plane starts to fall apart in the sky, that's bad.
Hey, we saw Lost.
We know
stuff,
what happens, man.
Yes. Obviously.
I blame Kevin for hanging up on him.
Hang up on
him. Or whatever he did. You did something bad to Bono, didn't you?
I didn't. Well, Kevin won't be on the show with Bono, I'll tell you that.
That's right, it was Beer Mug.
You guys have talked to Bono twice, and I haven't been here.
Beer Mug hung up on him, that's right.
I trained Beer Mug to do the right thing.
Of course you did. Bill Clinton's going to be on the Queen Latifah talk show. Bill, what happened?
Come on, Bill.
Queen Latifah has booked former President Bill Clinton for a talk show tomorrow. Hollywood Reporter says he'll cover a number of topics, including why the hell am I on the Queen Latifah show?
Yeah, no kidding.
Including speculation that his wife will run for president, about his new granddaughter's charitable work. So there you go. If you're a Clinton fan, tune in to Queen Latifah.
Is that weird to anybody else? I mean, you got Kimmel, you got Fallon, you got Letterman. You got a lot of other shows out there.
Yeah. Well, maybe they didn't ask. Maybe she asked.
Huh.
And this is interesting. YouTube is rolling out its own music and video streaming service next week. LA Times says YouTube Music Key, as it's known, will cost you $10 a month, and you'll be able to access their songs and all their video clips without commercials. So you don't have to wait that 4 seconds before you watch the video? How much in a hurry are you?
Sometimes it's 4 seconds. Sometimes it's a full 15 or 30 even. Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a lot of time.
It's not at all.
Feels to me like it's a lot of time.
Well, because you're in such a hurry.
I am.
You have to go get your shirt stitched up. Wipe that chili off your knees. What is going on? You can't wait for 30 seconds. You got to pay $10 a month.
I'm just saying it's annoying. I don't know that I would pay $10 a month to get around it, but.
Anyway, if you're one of Kevin's people, that's an option for you now. And while we're talking about music and bands like we were moments ago, Foo Fighters have announced they are hitting the stadiums in the UK next summer. The band is set to play the Sunderland Stadium of Light on this May 25th, the Manchester Old Trafford Stadium on May the 27th, Wembley on June 19th and 20th, and in Edinburgh, Scotland at the Murrayfield Stadium on June the 23rd. So... pretty cool. See those guys over there in the UK?
All due respect.
They're not a lazy band.
They are not.
All due respect to you two, but Foo Fighters, the biggest band in the world?
Boy.
Because I don't know who else could do that tour schedule that you just mentioned.
I think the U2 still wins.
U2 could.
Yeah.
U2 still could.
Yeah, easily.
Every Especially tour U2 does is the biggest tour in history.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to kind of give it up for that.
But they're certainly up there. They're in the conversation. Their planes are better. I know that much.
Yeah, their planes don't fall apart.
Planes fall together. You're lucky to walk away when that happens.
Look, it may have been an obvious statement, but I was just marveling in how fortunate the people were on that plane that it didn't go down.
He's Bono! He just would have floated in the air.
Possibly, yes.
Until he just softly, gently, God's hand lowered him to the ground, patted him on the head and said, "On your way, Paul."
Were they low enough that the pressure wasn't a problem in the plane?
I mean, Bean doesn't have enough information. What a shock.
Unbelievable.
Let's talk to the European League of Space Travel and see if they can let you know what's going on. Maybe they can land a spacecraft on the plane and tell you what's going on.
I'm going to suggest you have enough info. It fell apart.
I don't have enough intro.
Door came off. They lost their luggage. Everybody's okay. They landed.
Oh, I'm happy.
Bean's got to know.
No.
Bean's
got to know. Where's the plane, by the way? Where's that other plane?
Thank you.
The Malaysian Airlines plane?
Malaysian Airlines plane. Where is
Excellent
that?
Question. Bean is still seriously wants an answer to that.
I do seek out information many times a week looking to see if there's anything new on that.
Bean's got to know.
No. Bangkok, Oriental setting. But the city doesn't know what the city is getting. Love that song. Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Mantegna, 67 years old today. Frances Conroy, best known as the mom from 6 Feet Under. She's 61 years old. Chris Noth. A lot of people are giving me some stick saying I'm talking about him as Mr. Big from Sex and the City.
Right.
And of course, he was one of the original detectives on Law and Order, of course, too. Was probably his biggest person.
Much more important.
Yes. He is 60 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg's 59. Our good buddy Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 47th birthday. Nothing like being in your late 40s and having a newborn. Nothing like that feeling. Nothing like that sensation. Gerard Butler is 45 years old. Met a world peace. The basketball player. He used to be known as Ron Artest when he was slugging people in the stands.
That's correct.
35 years old. And our own Ario Nicole Alvarez celebrates her birthday today.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody smells better at this station, that's for sure. Well, maybe Doc. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've been a radio for a long time, and the one thing I know is all the coolest shows are on AM. I'm talking about The Beast, 980 AM from 9 till noon. Our friend Jim Rome has his show there. He is also heard on another 240 radio stations nationwide and on TV from 3 to 3:30 on the CBS Sports Network. Jim Rome joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show like you do on Thursdays. Hey, Mr. Rome, how's your week going, sir?
Guys, actually so good, and I've been in radio a long time myself, and the truth is the coolest radio show that I know is the one that I'm on right now, KROQ, Kevin and Bean. You guys rule.
You don't have to say
Jim,
that.
We already like you.
I mean that sincerely. You could hate me, and I would still say that.
We got a few things we want to cover, and we're so grateful to have the opportunity to have a couple of minutes with the Sports Authority. And I want to start with, first of all, Clayton Kershaw. Congratulations. There's nothing that anyone needs to say about that. He's maybe the best pitcher I've ever seen in my lifetime. Is there anyone who comes close to him right now, Jim?
I don't think so. I mean, he wins the Cy Young Award again, third time in 4 years. And the only question was whether or not there'd be that one troll that would not vote for him. But that's not what happened. He got voted in unanimously. I've never seen a guy like this. He is a pure freak. It's witchcraft. And he is the closest thing to Sandy Koufax. And the guy's absolutely amazing. He is all that.
Does unanimous happen a lot?
No, it does not. It does not. But what that guy does not happen a lot either.
Yeah.
You know, the only rap is, and when I talk about trolls, people are coming out saying, yeah, well, the guy can't get it done when it matters. He's Clayton Manning, like Peyton Manning. Just understand what this is. The Cy Young is a regular season award. It's given for what you did during the regular season. Nobody wants to come through in the postseason more than this guy. But that's what that record represents. And the guy's amazing.
Do you know anything about what other criteria are involved in voting for this award? And the reason I ask that is because over in the American League, you have two guys with the number one and number two votes who have virtually identical statistics. How do they choose? I mean, is it based on what kind of run support your team gets you or how many defensive errors they make behind you? Like, how do they decide in a case like that, Jim, if you know?
There's a lot of criteria that goes into it. I mean, certainly the voters will look at every possible thing. There's all sorts of new metrics that come along with baseball right now. I mean, it's to a certain extent, it's subjective, but it's mostly objective when you break down the numbers. But it's going to come down to the voter and how he sees that person. And let's be honest, it shouldn't factor into it, but every once in a while, there are personal biases that come into it. These reporters interact with these players. Do they have a good experience? Do they have a bad experience? It should be totally objective, but every once in a while, some of that subjectivity creeps in, I think.
And I wonder how much some of it sometimes has to do with how much is this person a team leader, for instance? You know, how much is this the go-to guy? You know, I mean, we're just so disappointed here in Seattle, obviously, to see Felix Hernandez with the kind of year he had with a 2.14 ERA and to not win another Cy Young Award just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I can see that. An amazing player. I don't think that leadership thing factors in too much because as a pitcher, you're only going to pick up the baseball every fifth day anyway. So these guys can only lead to a certain extent. They're not out there as an everyday player. They're not there every single day. And if they only come in every fifth day, I don't think they're necessarily that guy who leads in that way. So I don't think that's what cost him. But I can see where you're bent if you're in Seattle and you've got that guy. I know why you're upset.
Jim, I've seen a couple of articles. I want to change topics to the Lakers. How bogus or how real is the story of Kevin Love having a one-year deal in Cleveland and maybe coming to the Lakers? Because it sounds like it's probably not true.
Guys, if something seems too good to be true, it generally is. I mean, that took 5 games before that story came out. From a business standpoint, it might behoove him to opt out of his contract. He could certainly do that. But I don't see that coming. He went to Cleveland, and I know that he grew up in Los Angeles. He played at UCLA. But if I'm a Laker fan, I would not be banking on that. That guy's not coming to save the day. I just don't see that happening.
And my Laker question for you is, this week as the news came out that Kobe Bryant is the all-time NBA leader in three-point misses, which I think is kind of a bogus statistic because he's played for so long and has made so many points on in that same time period, but a lot of people are really beginning to question that he's still trying to win it all by himself. What's it going to take to get him to start spreading the ball around a little bit and quit putting up so many that don't go in?
Yeah, it's never going to happen. I mean, that's who that guy is, and that's what he does. And by the way, I don't know why he's getting rapped for that. I love it. Like, there seems to be this sense that, yo, that's the worst look ever. He's the biggest ball jack ever. What an embarrassment. Trust me, this guy does not look bad. He looks like a boss. Everybody's got this thing totally twisted. It's my favorite record of Kobe Bryant's. He said it himself. I'm a shooting guard that played 19 years. Right, a shooting guard, not a passing guard, a shooting guard. Shooting is what gets him paid. It's what wins him rings. And if he looks on the floor and he sees who's out there with him, there's no way that guy's going to pass the ball.
Yeah.
That's just not who he is. In other words, don't hate, celebrate, because I guarantee Kobe is with that mark.
It's funny. I have watched a lot of Laker games, and I've seen a lot of games where he tries to pass the ball to other players. And they just put up bricks, and I go, okay, forget it. Don't pass. Just shoot. I'd rather he take a poor shot than somebody else take
but
a good shot.
But what's the long-term strategy there, though, Kevin? It's not working.
It wouldn't work if he passed it to somebody that can't make a bucket.
Guys, are they losing every single night?
Yes.
Then it's working. It's working. They need to get that top five draft pick. They need to protect it. See, Laker fans fall into two categories. Guys, they fall into two categories. There is team car flag, those who rock that car flag and get more and more bent with every humiliation. And there is team tank, who is terrified that they might win on a given night and lose that draft pick. Trust me, he should keep jacking it up. It's working perfectly.
We're running late on time. I would like to change again one time to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Bieber. What a bizarre story that is.
One of my favorite stories of the year. I mean, exactly what the hell is Bieber doing with the Steelers anyway? Name one guy in any NFL locker room who's a believer. Name one adult male in this country who is a believer. And this guy was at the Steelers worship service. I mean, they were probably praying he would just leave. That made no sense to me at all. Hey, guys, wait. My favorite, though, Terry Bradshaw, the old school Steelers, like, hey, man, back in the day, we would have never let that happen. Come on, Terry, you're going to tell me if Donnie Osmond wanted to pray with you back in the day, you wouldn't have allowed that? Bradshaw's probably like, that punk Dustin Bieber. What's Dustin Bieber doing there? It was awesome.
It was so weird. And obviously we all know what happened is that they went out and lost big time to the Jets. But it was just so weird that that those two universes ever crossed. Like, how did somebody from the Steelers camp even let that kid in there with them? Like, he couldn't have been invited, right?
Yeah, I think he kind of was. He has a spiritual advisor who works with the team. They kind of came together. But to your point, my favorite part of the story is that Ben Roethlisberger had to come out publicly and say, look, the Biebs is not the reason we lost that game. Right, Ben? The fact that you threw two interceptions to the worst team in the league is the reason you lost that game.
Well, we're just happy anytime bad things happen to Bieber, so we're fine to give up that Steelers game. All right, we're out of time. Unfortunately, Thursdays at 8, we catch up with Jim Rome. You can hear him in about 45 minutes or so on The Beast, AM 980, KFWB, here in Los Angeles and all across the country on great radio stations. Plus, look for him on the TV, CBS Sports Network this afternoon at 3. Thank you so much, Jim. We'll talk to you again.
You dudes are the best. See you next week.
Thank you. Last Friday morning, in front of the Best Buy store in Beaumont, California, which is where, Lisa, out there, kind of where the 10 and the 60?
10 and 60, as you're heading out towards Palm Springs.
Two women, Vicky Torres of Cabazon and Juanita Salas from Beaumont, put their stuff down on the sidewalk and got in line to start waiting for Best Buy's Thanksgiving Day sales.
What was that, November 7th, 8th?
last Friday, whatever that was, they planned to spend 22 days outside of the electronic retailer in hopes of landing the best deals on the infamous first-come, first-serve Thanksgiving night rush. Now, Black Friday this year has been moved up at a lot of retailers. Best Buy is going to open their doors at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. So let's go out to that Best Buy location right now where K-Rock van driver Isaac is on the phone, and I think he's standing by with the ladies. Hey, Isaac.
I am. How are you?
We are good.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us, man. Sorry to make you drive all the way to Palm Springs this morning. How was the drive?
No problem. No traffic at all. And I've actually missed the ladies. They are not in line. Their stuff is here. But I did manage to flag down Eric from the Best Buy store.
Okay. Oh, great. Hold on. Let's just back up for a second. So these ladies last Friday got in line. Then they left their stuff there, like, as a placeholder and went home?
Absolutely. They've got a couple of folding chairs. Thermos equipment, a couple of coolers, tons of blankets, a crate that they like to sit on or something.
And, I wonder how long they've been gone. How long have you been down at the store today, Isaac?
No actual ladies. We got here this morning at about 7 o'clock, and they were nowhere to be seen.
So they didn't just leave to walk down into the shopping center to get a Starbucks or go to the bathroom or something like that. They're just not there.
It looks like they're just not here.
I'm moving those chairs.
I wanted to steal them.
So, Isaac, so seriously, what's to stop you from being first in line now, just pushing their stuff down the sidewalk and you take their spot? If they're not there, they're leaving a chair there doesn't save you a spot for good.
Absolutely not. And I'm going to send Dave a couple of selfies that we took of myself and JB from Promo in their seats claiming their spot.
Isaac, I'm serious. I don't know what kind of time... I don't know what kind of time you have today, but it would be awesome if you stood in the front of the line and moved their chairs until they came back. Now,
just to see the look on their face.
Yeah, yes. just to go, you know what? You left. You're not here.
Now, who do you have from Best Buy standing by, Isaac?
I've got Eric. It looks like he is the general manager of this store.
Wow, we'd love to talk to Eric.
He knows all about them since these ladies are here every year.
Oh, really? All right, let's talk to
him. Interesting. The plot thickens. Thank you.
Here is Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Eric, Kevin and Bean, how are you, sir? Happy holidays.
Hey, same to you, man. Same to you.
So tell me about these ladies. Isaac says you've seen them before.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. This is their third year here. They start each year a little bit earlier this year. About the same time last year, 3 weeks in advance. You know, they are here for some of the deals. I mean,
is there something in particular that they're waiting for? That they, you know, every year they want to buy a new TV or a new game system, or what? What's their thing?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, they this year it's for a TV. Last year they got a computer, and I mean, they usually walk home with a basket full of stuff. So they definitely pick up quite a few items. So
how long in general, if you know, before the third person shows up in line? I mean, is it a couple of weeks later, or did they start lining up sooner?
You know, I think the first year that they came, that was kind of their intent. They wanted to get the deal, and they got here, and there was already, like, about 7 days before we opened, we had a line.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
wow.
I know. And then the next year, so last year when they got here, about 5 days before Thanksgiving, we had a line starting, so we started having more people form behind them. So
now, how do you feel about this at Best Buy to have people sleeping out on the sidewalk in front of your store? Do you guys like it? Is it exciting for you, or is it kind of a pain in the ass?
A little of both, but I think honestly, the biggest thing for us is that you know, it just shows that they're willing to stay that long for a deal. I don't think I've seen that in any other retailers. I mean, they'll know a lot of ways to go for 24 hours, but
do they know what deal is going to be offered?
Yeah. We released our ad this last Monday.
Okay.
So,
but when they got in line, they didn't know.
No, they didn't. But they usually know that there's going to be something really big that they want. They did come in looking for a TV, and we normally have a good TV on sale.
Are you positive they're not homeless?
I am 100% okay. Sure that they are not.
All
yes.
Right. Let me tell you, because I'm looking at the Black Friday preview ad. Again, we're talking to an employee at Best Buy in Beaumont where people are already lined up, even though the sale doesn't start until 5 o'clock 2 weeks from today. You can get the Panasonic 50-inch LED for $199 on that day. You can get the Samsung 55-inch, this 4K Ultra HD TV, for $899. I'm almost ready to get in line for that kind of deal. I wonder if I can talk these ladies into picking me up a TV while they're down there.
You know what? You probably could. I wouldn't. I bet there's only one ticket per person. So if they wanted that item, then you would be out. Sorry.
Have you ever had any kind of fights in any of the years where people have some dispute as to who's in front of whom?
Please say yes. Please say yes.
I wish I could say yes. But you know what? As of late, I think that was a thing of the past. We've gotten them really good at really managing and getting through the line, and everyone usually leaves pretty happy. So.
What's your ruling on they left their chairs and their stuff, but they're gone, so if I show up, or let's say our guy Isaac, we can pay him to stand in line.
Like, can he go to the front of the line now because the girls aren't there?
You know what? Actually, I would love to have Isaac stand here in the front.
Fantastic.
I will give him – I actually have an extra chair. I can get him the chair. I've got one with me for him. I mean, you know.
I just want him to sit there until they come back. I just want to see the look on their face when they go, what?
that would be, you know, I would like to get a picture of that too.
All right. All right. Well, Eric, you are awesome for jumping on the phone. We really appreciate that. Congratulations on the excitement already generated for your big sale on Thanksgiving. Give us Isaac back real quick, okay?
You got it.
Thank you, sir.
Isaac, stay as long as you can.
I am going to be posted up here.
Stay as long as you can until the women come. If you have to leave, you have to leave. But try to take first place. Move their stuff and then videotape them when they walk up.
I will do that.
You're the man.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Isaac. Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Well, we've gotten our first couple of entries in at kevinandbean.com to see who wants to be Miss Double December 2015. As you know, we do it every year. We crown this year's winner on December 5th at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Let's get you all the details so you can win.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Big juicy melt.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
She does have great cans.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Yeah! Oh, the kids love the Double Ds.
They sure do, don't they? No one ever enters the Miss Double December pageant because they want to hang out with Kevin and Bean. That much we know for sure.
Yeah, but we're cool with that.
But they do love to go to the Acoustic Christmas Show every year. They do love to go to the Weenie Rose. They love to go to the Kevin and Bean singles parties, the breakfasts with, the April Foolishness, all the other Kevin and Bean events that we have throughout the year. That's kind of the grand prize, although I think I've heard some rumblings behind the scenes of some other grand prizes that are going to go along with this year's winner as well. Pretty cool. So if you want to be Miss Double December 2015, you just go to kevinandbean.com. And what's the entry process like, Kevin, for that?
You have to be 21 or over, and you have to send in 3 photos of yourself. Now, headshots don't really work for this contest, if you don't mind. We're going to need a little bit more than that. You put 3 photos in there, and then you answer a few questions. If you're going to write an autobiography, what would the title be? Just silly questions like that, so we can sort of get a feel for your personality.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to learn a little bit about you, and then we invite you on down to the Kevin and Bean Show if you're one of the top 10 finalists, and we have a little bit of an interview on air, and you do a little talent competition, and then the next thing you know, you're on stage at the Slide Bar in Fullerton on December 5th, and you maybe are crowned the winner.
Can I tell you where we went south last year more than any other place?
Yeah.
Describe yourself in 140 characters.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone did that.
They cannot follow the rules.
It went for like 4 paragraphs.
I am sad to think about saying goodbye to – well, I'm always sad every year when we have to say goodbye to Miss Double December.
Yeah, and I always bring up the most genius idea, which you people are idiots for not listening to, which is we don't get rid of. We just add 2.
So how many Miss Double Ds do you want us to have at one time?
We should have like 10 next year. What's wrong with you?
A parade of women.
Yes.
I do like to think that the ladies who have won and worn the crown for a year, though, they do kind of stay in the family. I mean, we still hear from Joanna. We still hear from Lux, obviously. And I'm sure Brittany, I hope Brittany will keep in touch with us as well. But you can get all the details at kevinandbean.com. The deadline for entering is 1 week from tomorrow at the close of show. So next Friday at 10 a.m., that's when we have to cut off the entries, and then we'll put our top 10 together. Hey, I think Mole is calling in. He might even have a suggestion for us or something like this. He heard us talking about Miss Double D. Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean. You know who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Mole. We saw that. That's why it's Mole.
Hey, Lisa May. Hey, Ralph.
Hi, Mole.
Hey, Eric from Best Buy.
All right. Eric from Best Buy isn't here, and Ralph isn't a narc, okay?
Well, I've seen a lot of cop shows.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Listen, the reason I'm calling, dudes, is I want to be in the Mystical December contest. I got a lot of mystical magic tricks. I can make a bottle of pills disappear.
No,
it's a mysticism.
It's not mystical or mysticism. It's Miss Double D. It's by nature has to be a female.
Oh, Miss Double. Oh, you know what? I'll be honest. The antenna broke on my radio. I only catch like every fourth word you get.
Well, that would be confusing, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Mole. So, what we do? Here's the geniuses we are. Is we've come up with an event where we do a live broadcast with about a dozen women with huge breasts. That's the show.
Oh, chocolate milk sweater potatoes. Okay. Okay. I got you. Well,
I haven't heard it called that, but yeah, I see where you're going with that. Right.
Okay. You know what? That is great. But can I do something that might be, might be a little even more important than that? Can I remind everyone to get out and vote this Tuesday?
Well,
remember, only you can make pot totally legal and free.
Yeah, okay, first
it's
of all,
America, the home is the land of the weed.
Where do we start? First of all, the election is over. You missed it by a week and a half.
I know I can't vote because that felony thing, but that moped was nowhere near worth $1,000.
No, it's worth.
And my uncle shouldn't have never reported it stolen.
This is over a week ago, and weed wasn't even on the ballot in California.
Yeah, you couldn't vote for weed to be legal anywhere this year in California.
Whoa.
This is like a week and a half ago.
You got a lot of bad info, Mole.
Who won?
Well, not weed. Weed wasn't up.
Weed lost, dude.
Depends which candidate you're looking for. The Governor Jerry Brown was reelected.
All right. So no red states, all blue states. All right.
I'm not sure you have that. So,
I don't know how it works.
It's Miss Double D, and the election's already over. So are you straight now?
I'm nowhere near straight. Let me put some Visine in my eyes. Hold on. I'll look straight. That's what I use when I...
That's not what he meant. He meant, do you have all the facts correct?
Yeah, I look about as straight as I do when I try to get that job at Dave and Buster's. Hold on, let me clean my shirt. I got fired. I tried to clean the air hockey machine with a Zamboni. Hey, listen, let's talk some more about the potato ladies.
We'd like to, but we're sort of running out of time here.
Well, maybe it would be nice if they thanked the veterans today. It's their special day.
Today is not Veterans Day, Mole. I believe that was Tuesday of this week. It was 2 days ago.
It's fine. Veterans used to being kept waiting. Look, I'm not afraid to get real. I'll hold the mirror up to society.
That is what you're known for.
That's absolutely what you're known for.
Hey, Mole, right, maybe you should come down to our Miss Double December and help us judge.
Oh, man.
Right?
I'll get on those blouse puppies.
No, I mean, help judge.
Yeah. Oh, can I be a judge? Do I have to pass any kind of tests or anything?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I'm in. Hey, and listen, don't forget to set your clocks back this weekend.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mole. Great advice.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
So we promise every weekday we'll have tickets to the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas at 9 a.m. That means we're opening up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're giving away night one tickets. Kevin, what are you looking for this time?
We're giving away night two tickets.
Yep. Night two tickets is what the prize is?
Yep.
How do they win them?
They're going to have to listen to Dr. Stephen Hawking sing some of the song, and they're going to have to identify it.
He doesn't really sing.
He sort of sings.
He talks with a computer, Kevin.
He sort of talks.
Are you sure that this is what we're doing, Kevin? Is that what
we're doing? Hawking the hits, right? Hawking the hits.
It doesn't sound like Dr. Stephen Hawking would know an Alt-J song. I mean, that doesn't seem likely to me.
But he's hip, man. He's at the Swingers Club. He's hanging out. He is.
All right. So you'll have to identify by title and artist Hawking the Hits. Dr. Stephen Hawking joins us right after the top of the hour. 1-800-520-1067. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
By the way, that whole him in a wheelchair thing's BS, by the way.
It is?
What? Yeah, there's this new movie coming out where he's walking around and stuff with his wife and all, and he's going to college.
That's a biography of his life, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So it shows that he can get out of the chair if he wants to.
But it's pre-disease.
Be a normal guy.
It's when he's younger, when he's diagnosed.
They shot this movie before he even got the disease? How did they even know he'd be interesting? Why would they shoot just a random guy?
No, it's an actor who's playing Stephen Hawking in the film. He's recreating that period in his life when he was young, could still walk, but then got sick.
So the guy pretends to be somebody else?
Yes, he's acting.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty cool gig. I might have to try that. That sounds like fun.
You should. I think you'd enjoy it.
Sunday night, we have U2 playing on the Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's correct.
Don't we?
Yes. As far as we know, yes.
Well, maybe not. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe not.
If Bono can get here safely. Apparently he doesn't know how to travel. He doesn't know how to get from one place to another.
Seems like he's done more than his share of traveling in his lifetime.
Wednesday, he was flying to Germany with four friends in his private Learjet, like you do, you know, when you have your Learjet flying your friends to Germany from Ireland. When a compartment at the rear of the plane completely detached, plane started to fall apart in midair. The entire door, along with Bono and his companion's luggage, had fallen out in midair.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
They don't know if the door and its contents landed over water, over land, but they were extremely lucky, says the Irish Daily Mail newspaper.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I did a little research since our last
what a surprise
chat on this. And according to a news agency, the 32-by-40-inch rear hatch that opened up was disconnected from the passenger cabin, so pressurization was not a problem for the passengers on the plane. In other words, the part that opened up that then let the luggage spew out didn't affect the people who were inside the plane, the passengers. Because that was my fear, is that they would then have a pressurization problem. But apparently that was not the case.
But when Ralph told the story that they're okay, so how are you still worried about their health?
I was worried about them in retrospect. I was retrospectively worried.
I was pre-sad but post-worried. We were told the story after it all happened and they were fine.
It landed, yes. all was well. And
I understand
you were
that.
Concerned for their safety.
Yes, I was trying to figure out how it worked with the pressurization. Like, at what point in the flight did this incident happen?
But why?
How could that possibly matter?
You already know they're okay.
You know, you read the last page of the book.
That's the end of the story.
They get to the airport fine.
I just like to stay current, and I like to be up to speed with details, and I like to have an understanding as to how things play out.
The plane broke, and they're alive. Boom!
Right. They lost some luggage.
That's it.
But there's a lot
that's
of points
all.
between A and Z, though,
but
guys.
But A and Z is all that matters. Broke.
Especially Z.
Broke? Fine. That's it. Broke? Fine.
Okay.
Bean's gotta know.
No. Oh, it must be exhausting to be you. No wonder you're tired all the time, Bean.
No story has all the information that Bean needs. He has to research everything that
he has
heard.
He has to go to Berlin and conduct his own investigation. He's got to get the black box. He has to start looking for forensic evidence and
like measure stuff and look at the welding.
He's setting out a search party for the missing luggage. He needs to have facts.
By the way,
he's got to know.
No.
Can we hurry this up? I have a 10 a.m. flight to Frankfurt to get on this, okay?
You're something.
Sad, strange little man.
Quite a deal.
Brooke Shields is telling the world about when she lost her virginity.
Okay.
She's got her new autobiography out, There Was a Little Girl. She talks about losing her virginity to Superman.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
It's quite a drama. Being lost interest.
Kevin. The drama was going to lead up to the answer, but then the answer came so early that I just felt like...
Isn't anybody curious how Superman had sex with Brooke Shields, by
the
way?
Well, I assume you're talking about Christopher Reeve, right?
Aha! Wrong!
No? Wrong?
Yeah, you got to know. I guess you didn't know all the facts in this story, did you?
I am curious. Please tell me more.
Bean's going to spend 3 hours on this today.
Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, Superman Dean Cain was the one who got the deal done.
Okay.
I guess they were at Princeton together. That's where it all happened.
Look, that's a great story. How many of us have that story?
Dean Cain wins,
right? Right.
Yeah. Brooke Shields. Boom.
And by the way, Brooke Shields wins, I think, as well.
Yeah, he's a pretty good-looking dude. She actually went to him and asked if it was for his permission to put that information in the book before she wrote it, which I think was very nice of her.
He couldn't agree to that faster.
Yeah. Yes, please. Make the whole book about that. She says in the book, he was patient, sweet, and caring. Wow, this is just like a publicity campaign to bang Dean Cain.
Seriously.
I'd be handing that book out to everyone I knew if I was Dean Cain. Never stop having sex.
How many girls, Lisa? You have friends. I'm sure this topic comes up.
You have friends, don't you, Lisa?
No, that where this topic has come up. Oh. How many ladies have a patient, sweet, and caring story for their first time?
Well, I think anyone who does it with a boyfriend, like maybe their first serious boyfriend, probably has that experience.
And not so much the one-night stand?
Right.
I think probably more than don't, Bean.
Really? You think so? I would just think there's a lot of awkward teenage sex where it's, you know.
Well, it may be awkward. That doesn't mean it's not caring.
Sweet,
patient,
caring.
Sweet, and caring.
Bean, one day you'll have sex and you'll know. You'll understand.
All of Bean's experiences involve chloroform and a rag, so he wouldn't know about sweet care and her patient.
Duct tape.
His involve a lineup.
Bean did some research on the plane.
Police knocking on the door. Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Montana, 67 years old today.
Hall of Fame quarterback, by the way, one of the greatest to ever play the game.
It's Joe Montana.
This is Joe Montana.
Oh,
yeah. Gotcha. Frances Conroy, the actress, is 61 years old.
Bean's got his A game today, I'll tell you.
He sure does.
He's on it.
What do you got for Frances Conroy? Anything?
Nope.
Author of Prince of Tides? Love that book. Chris Noth, 60 years old today. Anything?
I just had the Joe Montana joke. That's all I had. I'm not trying to be a speed bump.
Load the box.
Just a joke.
Load the box.
I'm not trying to be a speed bump.
I'm
you did a 15-minute chunk on what happened to the plane.
It involved Bono. I thought it was worth a discussion.
Whoopi Goldberg's 59. Gerard Butler's 45 years old today. Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, 35 years old. Jimmy Kimmel, our goodest friend.
He is our goodest friend.
He's our goodest friend. 47 years old today, and our own K-Rock's own Nicole Alvarez celebrates her birthday today.
She's our goodest friend as well.
She's a good deal right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is the latest from Foo Fighters, by the way. A great, great song. I hope everyone listening has downloaded the new album or streamed it or something. Make sure you've heard it because it's excellent. Speaking of great K-Rock bands, how about this? Night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert is going to be Sunday, December 14th at the Forum with U2 and Weezer and Tears for Fears and Smashing Pumpkins, Modest Mouse, Vance Joy, Interpol, Alt-J, Imagine Dragons. They're all on the bill. We want to give away some tickets right now, don't we?
Yes, we do, with Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now, it's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Hey, Dr. Hawking, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Today.
Now you're the one of the smartest people in the world, and we're very excited about seeing the film Made of Your Life coming out in a few weeks here. But I didn't know that you were such a big rock and roll fan, that you know so much of this music we play here on K-Rock.
I love rock and roll. Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
So the way this is going to work is you're going to be picking
file.
You're going to put Dr. Hawking in the file?
It back.
He's Speed, come on. He said I love rock and roll.
Can I come to this show you're having?
I mean, I don't see why not. Sure. Well, yeah, we'd love to have you.
Can I get a dozen tickets, please?
We'll get back to you on that.
I need them for all my bitches.
Okay. So, Dr.
I have hoes in different area codes.
So I understand. See, he does know his music, you guys.
Yeah.
So you're going to be selecting a song by one of the bands playing on the night number two of the Acoustic Christmas Concert, and you're going to perform that for us, and then the caller just has to tell you what it is by title and artist. If they're right, they go into the drawing to win the tickets. Is that right?
Why not?
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Let's try that and see how it goes, shall we?
Carlos in Beverly Hills. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Carlos, you're on with the great Dr. Stephen Hawking. Listen up and tell us what title and artist this song is.
Okay.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame.
Oh, man.
It's
one of the bands.
What do you think there, Carlos?
Imagine Pumpkins?
Night number two. Now that's you two, one.
Is it getting better?
It's that one. It's that song. That's a big song.
Okay, that's okay. That's just one.
I wonder what happened to his plane.
I do too. Thank you for asking that question, Doctor.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Say hi to Diane. Hi there.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi,
Diane. When you woke up this morning, you had no idea you'd be talking to the amazing Stephen Hawking on the phone, did you?
No clue.
What are you wearing?
Nope. We don't have time to get into that. We're not going down that road at all, Stephen. Come on. All right.
If it helps, I will tell you.
Title and artist, listen up.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. Inhale. Exhale.
No, I think you're actually supposed to inhale and then exhale.
There's no button on here for sound effects, asshole.
Okay, my bad. Diane, what's the band? What's the title?
Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Yes!
I'm waking up.
You don't win yet, but you're in the drawing. Hold on.
You're one step closer, not to be confused with Linkin Park. They're playing Night One, so
you're
forget I said that.
You're supposed to breathe in and out.
I'm just
Who's our next contestant?
Craig in El Segundo.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Going great. Dr. Hawking, another song, please, from one of the artists playing Night Two.
The world is a vampire sent to drain secret destroyers, hold you up to the flames, and what do I get for my pain?
World is a vampire.
Right, he said that.
Right, this isn't listener okie, though. You gotta.
I know it's obviously Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
Title of that song.
What?
Title?
Let's go with Bullet of Butterfly Wings. I know that's probably not right, though.
I'm saying that's close enough.
That is right.
The world is a vampire.
Pull the drawing. With Butterfly Wings is the song. Wow, good pull. Well done. All right, we just have time for one more. Who's our final contestant?
David in Lakewood. Hi.
What's up?
Hi, David.
Hawking the Hits is up.
All right. Let's do it.
I was scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. Oh, all my friends are turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dreams.
Mm.
Wow.
That's a song you've heard a thousand times on K-Rock.
Weezer?
Mm. I'm sorry, no.
That's Vince Joy Riptide.
I was scared of dentists and the dark.
Boy, are you going to hate that song now every single time you hear it. Through no fault of its own. Diane is in the drawing, as is Craig. Only one can win tickets for night number two of the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Lisa May, who's our winner this hour?
Our winner is Craig.
Craig. Yay! Congratulations, Craig.
Hello?
Yeah.
No. Thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Dr. Stephen Hawking.
You're welcome. Stephen Hawking.
Once a week, we like to catch up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky. He is the host, of course, of Loveline, along with Mike Catherwood here on K-Rock 5 nights a week, and the Dr. Drew On Call on HLN show, and a fine array of podcasts at podcast.com. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Good morning.
You feeling better? Last time you were a little under the weather, we had you on the show.
Yes, thank you. I'm much better, much better.
Good. A couple of days ago, you had on Chickadee, little Anna, who's part of Honey Boo Boo's sister. This story continues to get weirder and weirder. What do you make of the drama that is coming out of that small Georgia town?
That poor town, that poor family. But there's more yet, Bean. You may not be aware that some news just came out.
All right, Dr. Drew, just for...
I see it. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Just for people who don't follow the story, just give us a quick overview.
Of course. So, of course, this is the Honey Boo Boo world. And Mama June is Honey Boo Boo's mom, and Honey Boo Boo has three other sisters, one of whom had a baby as a teen, much like her mother, and took off because she said her mom wouldn't believe her when she reported that she'd been sexually abused by one of the guys she was hanging out with. This guy was eventually convicted, and now Mama June's hanging out with him again.
Served 10 years in jail, right?
After 10 years in jail, that's right.
So now she's
and
back.
So Anna came on my program at HLN and said, by the way, the reason probably she had this guy hang around is my middle sister, Pumpkin, thinks that's her father. And Mama June led her to believe that was her father. And so that drama enough for you guys. That split the relationship between Pumpkin and Anna. They hate, well, Pumpkin hates Anna now. Except the problem is on Entertainment Tonight, which is going to air this evening, Mama June reveals that, no, in fact, this guy that she'd been hanging out with just a little bit, the sex offender McDaniel, was not the father, and she had him tell Pumpkin.
It's impossible.
I can't keep these names.
It's impossible.
She had him tell Pumpkin that he's not the father, but in fact, sex offender Ford. Sex offender Michael Anthony Ford, who was caught on To Catch a Predator on NBC.
Wait.
That's the father of both Jessica and Pumpkin.
Wait.
Now, she only
is your mind blown?
Wait.
Mind blown.
So you're telling me the dude that served 10 years for abusing little girls.
For abusing the daughter of Mama June, for Anna.
Yeah, served 10 years.
He is the one who molested Chickadee, right? But yeah. It was thought, Kevin, that that was also Pumpkin's father. It turns out he is not the father of Pumpkin.
Slow down. It was revealed on my program that Anna thought that that was the father, that the kids thought that was the father.
I see.
So there was all this conflict about, well, should Mama June be able to hang out with the guy that molested Anna? And by the way, Mama June said something interesting to Anna, Anna told me. That she sort of dismissed the whole sexual abuse thing, just like, hey, it happened, let's stop talking about it. And that suggests, now this is pure speculation, that maybe something like that happened to Mama June.
Mm.
But so she's had two important sex offenders in her life, and so that's further evidence that something might happen.
What does it take to pry those kids away from that woman?
I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't know the criteria they would use to do so. I think she just needs to keep, you know, and by the way, apparently, I talked to an attorney, and the first sex offender, McDaniel, has not been ordered to stay away from children. He's been ordered to stay away from Anna, the one he abused.
Wow. But Noah, but all other kids are fine?
I guess. It's almost unbelievable.
But in California, that same situation, that guy would come out and would be on a sex offender registry and would have to stay away from kids, right?
I think so. I'm not an expert on this thing, but that makes sense to me. That seems right.
Dr. Drew, forget the law for a second. If you were emperor, would you take the under 18 kids away from June?
Off with their heads.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no. I would if I were emperor.
Yeah. If you were emperor, it's a good question.
That's the kind of question you ask Corolla, because he actually enjoys the thought of that. He always thinks he is.
I think he's written a book about that.
But I would put somebody in to supervise is what I would do. I think taking kids away from their parents is a very problematic thing.
Agreed,
but.
She's right, a very problematic mom.
Yeah, she really is. Let me ask you another question. These kids got to be this age, 14 and 18 years old, without ever knowing who their father is. Should you tell your kids who their father is if they want to know if their father is a convicted sex offender?
You know, my basic philosophy with the questions that you may or may not want to answer your kids, you are either 100% truthful or you say, I'm just not going to answer that now. And some things I think you should. I think in this case, I would tell the child, but that's, again, people having differing opinions about that. But don't lie to your kids. It's a terrible mistake.
Okay.
So you
last
would,
question.
So you would reluctantly tell them.
I would tell them, or say, I'm just not open for discussion on that right now. So
okay.
Someday perhaps we will, but not right now.
Gotcha. All right. Last question, doctor, because you've dealt with thousands of patients throughout the years in real life and on Loveline over the telephone. This is pretty common for people just to want to turn the other eye to child abuse. If it happens in your family, a lot of family members would rather just go underground and pretend it didn't happen, right?
Unfortunately, this is just like a standard Loveline call, which is that it's not so much that when someone's been sexually abused. See, the crazy thing about humans is when something is extremely traumatizing in childhood, it becomes a source of attraction in adulthood. It's a bizarre phenomenon, but it's universal in people, which is that we suddenly become attracted to people, become exciting and interesting to us, who are just like the perpetrators of the trauma.
That makes zero sense.
Zero sense. And consciously, you may be saying to yourself, I'm going to avoid that kind of guy, but you end up, because of how our brain wires up in the face of trauma that's untreated, we become attracted to people and circumstances that, of course, are just like those that did the perpetration in the first place. And guess what people who are like that do? They do the same thing all over again. Now, when a mom has brought the wolf into the chicken coop, it's so painful for her to realize that she has brought someone in who's perpetrated something that was so painful to her, they just can't deal. They just don't want to. They can't process it.
What was your impression of the time that you had spending with Anna Chickadee, 20 years old? Did it seem to you like she was pretty together, or is she going through a lot of damage?
She'd had some therapy. It's hard to tell what residual there is. She seemed delightful. She was actually kind of rather bright and expressed herself very well. But who knows, from a mood standpoint, how, you know, and from a dynamic standpoint, what goes on in her relationships and things, there's got to be residual. But she's had some treatment, and she was pretty insightful. But I suspect, let's put it this way, when you talk to her, you're surprised how intact and well she's doing.
Dr. Drew, gotcha. Were you surprised when Bean said turn the other eye and not turn the other cheek?
I'm never surprised by anything he says.
I think that was a combination of telling the other cheek and turn a blind eye. I think I just got my expressions mixed up.
That's the only thing I cared about since you said it. All right, Dr. Drew on call is Monday through Thursday nights on HLN, and of course, Loveline Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock. We always enjoy the time with you, Doctor. Thanks so much for calling in.
You bet, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Anyway, coming up, I've got to tell you that this Friday night, 11 p.m., if you have HBO, Sonic Highways.
Oh, yeah, it's been on for
Foo Fighters are going to visit yours truly.
What?
I'll be on being interviewed by Pat Smear.
Why?
At my apartment in my Bingenheimer Manor. So that's this Friday at 11 p.m. on HBO.
Got it.
Okay, Sonic Highways.
Yes. Name of the show.
Foo Fighters TV special they've been doing on HBO at 11 p.m. on Friday.
Right, we got that.
HBO.
Right. Sonic Highway
Foo Fighters.
Lands its way over to my pad.
It lands its way over?
Interview me and I get to check out what's happening at my pad.
Does it turn the other eye?
It's Friday night at 11 o'clock on HBO.
Who calls their place his pad?
Try and check it out.
Foo Fighters. Austin Powers does.
All these different cities.
Rodney, shut up.
So that's this Friday at 11 p.m. on HBO.
Right. I can't wait to see Rodney on the Foo Fighters show. It's going to be great.
Rodney is Austin Powers where they just thawed him out.
That's true.
Of the 80s in one of those cryogenic chambers. And he's just come fully formed from his pad.
He's the best in his pad. By the way, I've not seen Pat Smears do one interview in this show. Have you guys?
Well, most of the interviews are off camera, so I don't know who's asking the questions. Some of them you can hear Dave's voice, but I don't know that he's doing all of them.
Yeah, it's not like 60 Minutes where you see the interviewer so much. So maybe Pat just was the guy who came by and asked the questions, but you may not even see him in the interview.
In the pad? In the Bingenheimer pad?
In the Bingenheimer Manor.
That's right.
Stately Bingenheimer Manor. He goes down the Bing pole. Becomes Bing Man.
To the Bingmobile. All right.
We've got a new superhero.
On our way to Cantor's.
If there's any crime at Cantor's, it will be stopped.
Quickly,
otherwise.
Girl Wonder.
All right. Before I get to the showbiz beat, how about some tickets to the premiere of Horrible Bosses 2?
Yay!
This movie, of course, the sequel to the wildly popular first Horrible Bosses. Once again, stars Jason Bateman, Charlie Day from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Philadelphia, whatever the hell that show's called. Jason Sudeikis, also in this movie, along with the lovely and talented Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
She plays a slut.
Yes.
Sex-crazed maniac. You want to go? It's November the 20th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Red Carpet World Premiere of Horrible Bosses 2. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. And if you don't win, don't fret, because you will be able to see Horrible Bosses 2 in theaters everywhere on November the 26th. All right, let's talk about show business. What do you do if you're George Clooney? Well, first of all, I don't get married. But second of all, your buddy's Brad Pitt. You love each other. You're bros. You have a bromance.
Right.
You love hanging out, spending the holidays together, doing things, enjoying yourselves.
They do seem like best friends.
Bestest of buds. BFFs, if you will.
I won't, but you can.
Well, that may all be over. According to Star Magazine, Amal Clooney and Angelina Jolie do not get along.
Oh, that's...
Did Angelina...
That's tough.
...not get along with his last girlfriend?
Yeah, that's right, Lisa, you're right.
Hmm.
They aren't very cordial with each other, says the magazine. Both women are smart and involved in humanitarian work, but reportedly they feel very competitive towards each other. And it's starting to affect George and Brad's friendship. They can't spend much time together because their significant others are clashing.
Stars are just like us. I bet that happens in a lot of real-world situations.
Maybe that's a fun topic we can explore at some point. Your friendship was ruined by your significant other.
But it's weird because one of them has George Clooney.
Right.
And the other one has Brad Pitt.
Yes. Right.
Why should they be competitive?
They win. Yeah.
But women.
That's a good point.
See? I thought of that. You didn't think of that, did you?
I didn't factor it in.
And in a lot of situations, I think, in the real world, the non-Clooney pit world, bros before hoes would come into effect. But that kind of goes out the window when you're talking about your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be wife first.
So the wife
trumps.
Well, then, yes.
So that's a tough one.
And also, it changes your codes in a lot of different codes.
A lot of codes go out the window.
A lot of codes go by the wayside once that happens. The only code that really seems to stick around is happy wife, happy life. That's the only one that really seems to stick.
That's true.
Usher is another on the name of a long list of stars that are losing sleep over a sex tape. TMZ.com is reporting that someone stole two laptops and two video cameras and $1 million in jewelry from his car.
Ugh, have fun explaining that to your kids.
He had $1 million of jewelry in his car?
That's what this story says.
What the hell?
Now, unfortunately, one of the computers contained a spicy video featuring Usher and his ex-wife, Tamika Raymond. And apparently the footage has surfaced. Someone is trying to sell it while his attorney is on the hunt for the person responsible. And they're trying to shut it down because it is stolen property. But someone apparently is taking the video to market, trying to get someone to pay big bucks for the Usher sex tape.
If it's not him and it's not her, can they shut it down? I mean, is it legally...
I think, especially because it was obtained through illegal means, that you certainly could shut it down. Yeah. Usually when it's one member or other of the party involved, that's a harder shutdown.
So if his ex isn't
she's not involved in this either.
He could probably
could, yeah. But it doesn't keep someone from trying to sell it
and
even go black market with it, you know?
Sure.
And speaking of television, which we weren't, but
we weren't
I am now.
Speaking
of that. But I am now. One Direction is coming to invade our home for the holidays. One Direction is hooked up with NBC for One Direction, the TV special. Very creative title, by the way. It airs on December the 23rd.
I wonder how that'll do. They've not had much luck on network television with pop star specials.
But One Direction, right?
I mean, they're popular. I thought the Miley Cyrus special would do a lot better than it did. She was enormously popular at the time it aired, and people didn't tune in for it.
But this is teenage girl fandom. This, I think, will...
Yeah, I think this skews a little younger even than her.
Yes, and I think this is the rabid sort of fan base that will force their parents to watch this special. If there's a television in the home, it will be tuned to this. This was the band that forced teenage girls to go to the roadside where one of them vomited and make a shrine of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's fandom.
That happened.
No one ever shrines my vomit spots. Lord knows there are enough of them. So, yeah, we're going to have to suffer through that come this holiday season. And speaking of suffering and television, Nick Cannon's got a new TV show. The host of America's Got Talent on NBC is now bringing back Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Back in the old days, that show was hosted by a gentleman named Robin Leach, who I believe is still with us.
Is he?
I think he now lives in Vegas and does reviews of entertainment, you know, the reviews and the musicals and stuff that open up. And
the
shows
that
open up in Vegas. Yeah, I believe he's there now. But this was basically just a lifestyle show. This was before TMZ or sort of celebrity journalism of any way. And it would go back and look at the, as you can imagine, lifestyles of the rich and famous.
It's even before Cribs, right?
Yeah, yeah. It would take you to the homes of rich, famous people and show you how opulently they lived. I don't understand why people loved that show so much. It was 11 years it ran initially.
Wow.
From 1984 to 1995. I always found it made me angry. Mm-hmm. To watch other people live in luxury just made me sad and upset.
You'd look around the room and go, what?
What? Look, I live in swill. And those people have their champagne wishes and caviar dreams. And I've got Miller High Life wishes and Ritz cracker dreams. But NBC thinks people want to see rich people living. Well, look, it's hard to argue, right? People tune in to the Kardashians and all these other people to watch them live. Opulently, the Real Housewives and all those broads.
And by the way, even if you're not interested in the rich and famous and wealthy, when you have a dynamic host like Nick Cannon, it's hard not to want to see it anyway.
He makes everything interesting.
He sure does.
I'd like to get Robin Leach back.
Now let's go to the home of Sean Connery and his wife, Micheline. What does Sean roughs her up in their beautiful second floor?
It's not the worst thing you can do.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Joe Mantegna is 67 years old today.
Francis Conroy is 61. Chris Noth celebrates his 60th birthday. Whoopi Goldberg is 59. Gerard Butler turns 45. They're making another movie where he's the president's bodyguard. Remember that Olympus Has Fallen? Olympus Has Fallen.
I love him. He's good in those roles.
They're doing another one. Can't wait. Meta World Peace is 35 years old today. Our very own Nicole Alvarez here from K-Rock. One of our own disc jockeys celebrates her birthday, as does an old member of the K-Rock family. It's going on to bigger and better things. James Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. I wonder what that's like, and I know you do too, Ralph, to go on to bigger and better things.
I've given up that dream. I'm just waiting for the Grim Reaper.
You can only hold on for so long.
Yep.
I bet it's cool to just get up and not even turn on the radio, not even think about it.
Yeah. Jim, if you're there, help! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He has an opening. No, I can't talk about that.
Security.
Friday morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have comedian Ari Spears talking about playing the Brea Improv. Mm-hmm. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas. And we have the voodoo that is RJ Bell.
He's crazy.
What is going on with him?
He called Steelers Jets,
He called the Jets.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
He's got to deal with the devil.
He's worshiping Satan.
Yes.
We'll talk to him tomorrow.